This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is 7:47 in the morning, Monday, the 1st of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shaoning and Philip. Now, over the weekend, we were greeted by news that the Employees Provident Fund, or otherwise known as EPF, declared a 5.2% dividend for conventional savings and 4.9% dividend for Shariah savings for 2020.
Yep. So while the EPF's 2020 dividends were just below the 5.45% for conventional and 5% for Shariah paid for 2019, 2020 was a challenging year for the pension fund of most privately employed Malaysians. However, with as much as 130 billion ringgit expected in withdrawals and reduced contributions, what is the outlook for EPF's dividend for 2021, especially in the era of ultra-low rates and cheap money?
Dividends is always dependent on market performance, right? So at this point of time for 2021, we're still early on in the year and we are not quite 100% certain on how the markets will actually perform for the rest of the years. It's all dependent on the efficacy of the COVID rolled out and also in terms of the take-up rate and the herd immunity at the global level to be achieved as soon as possible, right?
And that was a point you just heard by outgoing CEO Tunku Ali Zakri acknowledging about the challenges of 2021. So in the meantime, to help us unpack the investment performance of EPF for this year, for 2020 last year, and also give us an insight as to what we can expect in 2021, we speak to Pankaj C. Kumar, a financial market columnist and former chief investment officer. Good morning, Pankaj. Now, what's the dividend of 5.2% for conventional fund and 4.9% for Shariah fund in line with your expectations?
Thanks, Shaoling, for having me on the show. In terms of dividend that was announced, I must first congratulate the EPF for a very well job done in 2020. And certainly EPF has proven time and again its ability to deliver results during challenging times. Having said that, the rate of 5.2 was actually below my expectation. Yeah, because I think EPF could have done much better and my forecast was actually between 5.8 to 6%. I think you may ask me, why do I say this? If you look at their performance for the 9 months before the final quarter results was released, at that point in time, they have already done about 44.5 billion in terms of gross income and about 37.8 billion in net investment income. And based on the final year results, you could actually impute that EPF's fourth quarter performance gross income was probably about 16.5 billion and net income about 15.5 billion. So EPF has explained it has taken a prudent approach towards its equity portfolio by making a provision of about 7.7 billion for the year. In fact, I think if you look back into market, whether it was equity or fixed income, fourth quarter performance was actually quite buoyant, yeah. During the final quarter where EPF, as you know, has quite a large equity exposure. Even the local market was up like 8% during the quarter. And as you know, EPF also invested in other markets, whether it's US, Hong Kong, or even Singapore. These markets were up between 10 to 16% during the quarter. Yeah? So these five markets, including the Malaysian market, accounts for about 60% of EPF's equity portfolio. So I think EPF has actually taken a prudent approach in terms of this provision. And if you take that value of these provisions that EPF actually made, that actually translates to about 0.8% in terms of dividend payout. So effectively, if you add back this 0.8%, EPF would have done about 6% in terms of dividend. Yeah, it could have announced a good dividend for the year for members.
Yeah, so actually you're saying like normalizing that 6% is a pretty good number. Let's just deep dive to the asset allocation, right? Fixed income 46%, equity 42%. As you said just now, this is a big rise from last time at 30% for equities up to 42%. Is this a function of trying to maintain the level of returns in a yield-challenged environment?
Yeah, good point. In fact, if you look at EPF's asset allocation, they have a strategy asset allocation for between 2020 to 2022, where they're supposed to have about 51% in fixed income and 36% in equity. So you can see that it's actually kind of reduced in terms of fixed income portfolio, but increased in terms of equity performance. So what EPF does is it has a tactical asset allocation at the same time, yeah, to take into account market situations and market expectations. And at the same time, every quarter, EPF also does some sort of rebalancing through their dynamic asset allocation review, yeah, on a quarterly basis. So I think what the EPF has done, because as you know, interest rates are very low, so EPF has actually taken the opportunity to actually go a bit more on equity rather than on fixed income. Yeah, so because for a flat pension fund, generating the alpha for outperformance is one of the toughest things to do to continue to outperform the market in a sustainable manner. Yeah, so EPF has done a great job with it, and I think they will continue to do so based on their excellent track record.
And Pankaj, the other thing I note is the foreign asset allocation has also risen to 33%. Historically, it has always hovered around 30%, but are we going to see this figure increasingly go up, especially as EPF fund size passes 1 trillion ringgit? I mean, this is to avoid, I suppose, crowding out the local financial markets and maybe also in the search for higher returns?
Yeah, I agree. Because if you look at it, managing a trillion ringgit fund now, yeah, in a domestic market which has capital market, if you look at our capital market size, it's about 3.5 trillion ringgit, yeah, 1.8 trillion in equity, 1.6 trillion in bond market. So it's not easy for a pension fund like EPF to continue to be investing in the local market where their fund size is rather large, yeah, compared to the size of the market itself. So it makes sense for EPF to go outside Malaysia and for them to diversify, yeah, by investing overseas. Hence, EPF is able to manage its risk exposure in a much better way, especially in terms of asset allocation, geographical diversification, as well as, not to mention, currency exposure.
Now, Pankaj, there was a separate press release where EPF now is the first institutional investor to establish the largest Sharia-compliant private equity co-investment mandate at $600 million, right? What's your take on that?
I think it's a clever way for EPF to establish some sort of positioning, yeah, in terms of this allocation that EPF has actually just announced. And I think it's a space that EPF can explore easily because, of course, we all know they have the fund size. And if you look at the asset allocation that they have, obviously, if you look at alternatives, something that EPF has not really explored in a big way. So I think this is a good step for EPF to do so.
And of course, Pankaj, the next trillion-dollar question. Will EPF be able to generate the same level of dividends for 2021? What are your expectations?
That is literally a trillion ringgit question, given the asset size that EPF is managing. Yeah. Nevertheless, time and again, I think EPF has proven its ability to deliver results. And I think 2021 will not be any different. With the recovery team that we are seeing in the market post-pandemic, you know, EPF is well positioned to take advantage of any market opportunity that may arise. With global markets at near record highs and Malaysian market too experiencing strong rotational interest, I think EPF's performance will be as good as it was in 2020, if not better.
But if you're a fly in the wall, right, what would you be whispering to the investment officer to look out for in terms of risk and challenges for 2021?
Yeah, I think that is obviously a situation that any chief investment officer would probably have to look at, yeah, in terms of what's happening in the market and positioning, yeah, because markets also move pretty fast. So to have that kind of belief and understanding in the market is very important, especially in terms of the fundamental factors. I mean, today we see the tech sector running very high. Yeah? If you look at valuations, they are like what our glove stocks used to be valued a year ago. Yeah. So again, it's a question of whether it's sustainable. Are growth really that strong? So all these questions will keep coming for any fund manager, yeah, to manage an equity portfolio in a challenging environment like we are in today.
And one last question, Pankaj, very quickly. How disruptive are the withdrawal programs like iLestari and iSina, and also the reduced monthly contributions to EPF strategic asset allocation and dividend targets at the end of the day?
Another good question. I think if you look at it, I was rather surprised when I saw over the weekend EPF's announcement when it said they actually had a net inflow of about 20 billion ringgit in 2020, yeah, mainly due to higher contribution from members, which was about 3% more compared to 2019. But of course, withdrawals too skyrocketed by like 30%, yeah, to about 58 billion. And I think EPF also has made a statement that iLestari, I think so far they have seen about 18.3 billion in withdrawals. And I think this number is expected to increase still under iLestari by about 7 billion this year. Because iLestari is a 12-month program, yeah, so it should end by end of March this year. And of course, I think the key where everyone is looking is actually the unconditional ICNR program that will start next week. Yeah, as you can see, under the more restricted condition, EPF actually has approved about 20 billion in terms of application that they have received from about 2.5 million members. And I think I wrote about this in my column, where I actually state that based on my assessment, I expect in total EPF to experience about 56 billion ringgit in terms of withdrawal from the ICNR program. Yeah, so to me, I think it's not really a big challenge for EPF. Looking at the contribution and withdrawal the past year and I think this year, and of course, EPF technically has also increased their war chest to a certain extent because they have money market fund with about 7% exposure now. Yeah, that alone translates to about 70 billion. So even if you have this 50-odd billion coming in from ICNR, based on my expectations, EPF is, you know, more than ready to meet the demand of withdrawals that is coming through the ICNR program because they have continuous inflow of funds, yeah, from the deposit from members.
All right, thank you very much for your time. That was Pankaj C. Kumar, financial market columnist and former chief investment officer, saying that the EPF dividend was a pretty good one, 5.2% for conventional and 4.9% for Sharia. But we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that we have the breakfast grill where Noel speaks with the CEO of business expansion specialist Tricor Group. That's happening in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.